enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today.
I'd like to read to you today from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. Probably the shortest passage I have read since my time here. On the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, their sins are forgiven. If you retain or do not forgive them, then they are not forgiven. The sin is not retained." The day after the resurrection is when this takes place. The resurrection of the one who had just been crucified, pierced, dead, and buried. When we remember what happened to this Galilean peasant, this one born in a small town, one who came and loved boldly, who loved with the love of God in the face of authoritarian oppression, who loved even when that love brought down hate, who loved even the oppressors. He is destroyed and displayed. His death is as public as any death could be at that time. His lifeless body laid bare and displayed for all of humanity. This body, in a world of despair, is the body that meets them in a locked room thick with fear. His sudden appearance is unusual. After all, wasn't the door locked? The crucified one often appears at odd moments in our life and in the most desperate of situations, in locations and among people we would not expect to find him. And if we were to listen, we might hear him say, "Peace be with you." Peace. A strange word to speak in the midst of turmoil. What might he mean by this word, peace? What indeed does this Hebrew understanding of peace mean for God's people for such a time as this? Peace, or shalom, is the word for a unification, a unified solidarity with people. Shalom is a permanent harmony. It means I see another person not just as someone who's like me or who lives alongside me, but as someone for whom I am responsible to, for whom I am called to be a neighbor towards. When Jesus comes and wishes peace, he is offering them harmony with God and with one another, even in what is obviously a very conflict-torn era. Peace. Usually when we hear this word, we think in Western terms. And there was a way of understanding that in this time as well. The Pax Romana, or Peace of Rome. Peace is that which occurs when the authorities bring the peace, enforce the peace, or otherwise ensure the absence of conflict. Even today, we find ourselves longing for peace in our nation. But what kind of peace are we longing for? Is it just the temporary absence of conflict? The brief breath of fresh air that comes in between the moments our heads are overcome by the waves of conflict. I suspect we hope for a kind of peace that is far more permanent and prevalent. A peace that indeed allows Jew and Gentile to live and worship together harmoniously. That allows blue and black to live harmoniously together. A peace that sees and experiences the face of one another as a gift given by God that compels us to love our neighbor. We don't just want a temporary respite, a mere cessation of violence that lasts for a few months, perhaps a year, only to occur again. We long for a peace that is far more encompassing in our society, not just a mere pit stop to a cycle of violence. Here we are nearly 4 months without school. Thankfully, nearly 4 months without a school shooting anywhere in America. This four-month feat is one not attained since 2009. That last one in large part because of summer break, and this one because of a virus. What kind of peace do we long for in this situation? Certainly not a mere cessation of violence that lasts for just a couple more months. Oh, we do. We do long for this. I, a parent, crave this. But even more, do we not long for an end to the turmoil, the despair, the rage, the hate, and violence that causes this? Do we not long for an education system, a society, a culture of love, of harmony, and solidarity with one another? We long for true peace. Is it possible for Jesus to speak this kind of peace to the church today? The visitor that appears in this room to the disciples is not just one who looks like Jesus. He's no mere lookalike, no doppelganger, no stunt double. What he shows them is the very opposite of the peace he's just spoken. He spoke peace and then revealed to them the open wounds of terrible violence, of injustice, of the end result of what happens when peace is enforced by the sword of Pax Romana. At the sight of the crucified one who is raised, we would be tempted to celebrate Christ as victor, the one who's overcome the cross, overcome that spear, overcome the authority of the peace of Rome. To wonder now what this might mean for us, for the overturning of power, as if the raising of Jesus from the dead would mean a raising of Christ followers to a new kind of power, a kind of authority over those who once had authority over them. But to this, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. The Father who sent Jesus as vulnerable as could be into a dangerous world, who sent Jesus to live and love among the destitute, the poor, the widow, who sent Jesus to love in the face of oppression, to bless in the face of persecution, to call out the injustice of those too comfortable in the power of their authority. As the Father sent Jesus into that world, so has Jesus sent us into this world, to live vulnerably, to love our neighbor in solidarity, but also to bless in the face of persecution. But yet also to call unjust that which is done by any and all who have become accustomed to using the power granted by their authority against another. As the Father has sent the Son, so have the people of God been sent forth. But how can we proceed from the Father and the Son in faithfulness to this call unless we are empowered by the one who also proceeds from the Father and the Son, the one whom the Nicene Creed calls the Holy Spirit of God? When Jesus spoke these words of peace and sending, the Scripture, according to John, says Jesus breathed on them, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I've shared that I've been teaching Eric Greek during this lockdown. One of his most recent vocabulary words was pneuma, as in pneumatic or pneumonia. Pneuma, a word that means breath, wind, or spirit. When Jesus breathes on the disciples, He inspirits them. When He says, receive the Holy Spirit, they literally receive the breath that He blew forth. He pneumaed on them. And with that breath, the Holy Spirit is transmitted from Jesus to the disciples like a virus that flows from an unmasked face to its unknowing recipient. On this Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, we remember the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the church. A pouring out, the Gospel of John will not let us separate from the crucified Jesus, nor from His calling as one sent from the Father to the least among us. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit is always a sending of God's disciples to a broken world, a world full of sinful violence. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit is always a calling of God's people to live in solidarity and peace with one another. A peace that does not merely maintain a status quo, that vainly expects, well, our neighbor to live a segregated life so as not to disrupt my status quo. No, the peace that Jesus breathes with the Holy Spirit is a peace that will love all people as our brothers and sisters and yearn for life lived in harmony together, whatever sacrifice that might take for myself. Yes, even one that leads me to a cross. The Holy Spirit has been poured out on the church, not for some mere moral high ground, not just so we can feel good about our personal selves and where we've come from, but has been sent forth with the Spirit of God, which proceeds from the Father and the Son, to enact forgiveness in our world. Jesus said, if we forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. We are sent also to identify sin that exists in our world. If we retain the sins of any, they are retained. We do not identify sin so as to call it out as if the sin was not our own. No, that would be too easy. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were especially good at that. No, the identifying of sin is indeed a kind of retaining, because it is recognizing that the sins of our communities are indeed our sins. And if we are not willing to recognize them as our sins, to retain them as Jesus has said to us, then we have not fully received the Spirit that flows from the crucified one, the one who took on sin, the one who became sin for us and for our salvation. As Christ followers, we too must be willing to take on the sins of our community in order that it might be redeemed. But we cannot do so if we merely point it out as if it belonged to someone else. No, there is a season for retaining of sin in the hope that redemption might happen, and indeed the peace of God might be breathed on all of God's creation. Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit on us when He speaks, peace be with you, to those who live in fear. To those of us who have been behind locked doors for oh so long, Jesus will meet us even there and speak peace into our lives. To those who live in fear because of the kind of violence that occurs all too often, Jesus was wounded with you. The resurrection condemns the violent lethality of those exerting power, exposes the wounds for all to see. Yet life and resurrection and hope belongs to the wounded ones. And the Spirit of God was poured out, breathed out from those wounds to reveal the sin retained among us and to bring and offer forgiveness. Where you see wounds, you will see Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, today we come yearning for Your Spirit. Yearning for a Spirit that, Lord, I confess we in the church have long just individualized, just said, it's just about me and my experience. And without a doubt, there is a personal experience and a personal work and a formation of character and a forgiveness of sin that happens within. But there is also a calling and ascending forth that happens with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ascending forth that equips the people for what they are called to do in Acts chapter 2. Ascending forth in John that sends us forth into a broken world with a hope of redemption and a hope of love and a willingness to bear the cross. For we find indeed on the cross is the source and hope of that Spirit. And so, Heavenly Father, we come to You today asking indeed that Your Spirit would breathe fresh and anew in our lives and in our midst, that we would be willing to indeed love as neighbors all whom You bring before us and in whatever situation or circumstance that we might find them. Lord, we find indeed a world that is sometimes seems not so far off from what we assume was a very backwards or barbaric or violent world in the world of the Bible. And Heavenly Father, we are praying that You would speak peace in our midst right now. A peace that longs and yearns for something so much more than just a brief respite, but something that would endure and last, and something that would indeed allow us to see our neighbors as brothers and sisters, indeed as ones worthy to love as we and protect and serve as we would love ourselves. And so, Heavenly Father, today we pray that Your Spirit would indeed breathe anew in our midst. In Jesus' name.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you abundantly as you serve Him today.